Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to try to clap for the Lord. Hallelujah. And give the Lord a shout of praise. Can you do it? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 We are going to raise it up a few decibels. Hallelujah. May heaven hear your clap above your neighbor's clap. May heaven hear your shout above your neighbor's shout. Glory be to Jesus. Let there be a noise to be heard in praising the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And just before you sit down, I'd like you to appreciate Pastor Paul. There's only one Pastor Paul in the whole world. I mean, hallelujah. Now you may be seated. Glory be to God. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you. Pastor Paul said I can be an evangelist, so I can be wild. Hallelujah. So I need to make sure I'm free. Hallelujah. Tap your neighbor, say, God is with you this morning. Oh, say it with boldness. God is with you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Anything I don't do right, don't worry. Pastor Paul will do it right next week Sunday. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God is great and awesome and marvelous. I want to maybe get us to crack our brains a little bit with some few ideas, and then we will pray. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Pastor made a mistake and invited me to his all-night prayer on Friday, and when we got there, they were praying nicely. Everybody was seated beautifully, and he invited me, and glory to God. And somehow the Holy Ghost said, pray. So I said, fine, glory to God. That I know how to do, so let me pray. So we started praying. We prayed and prayed and prayed. Hallelujah. I don't know if we preached, but we prayed. So we're going to share a few ideas, then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, Elijah had been through a whole lot of things. It's very commonly known, so I'm going to take some liberties about what I read. He had come to a cave because he was looking for God. But what brought him there was because he had called fire from heaven in his hope of bringing national repentance and national revival. And so he called fire from heaven, and when the fire consumed the sacrifice and he won the contest with the prophets of Baal or Baal, depending on how you want to mention it in England, glory be to God. Baal, Baal, doesn't matter. He then ordered for all the prophets of Baal to be executed. And He did that in the presence of King Ahab, who went home and told his wife everything that went on. His wife, of course, is Mrs. Jezebel Ahab. And glory to Jesus. And she didn't take it the way the king took it. I don't know how the king narrated the testimony, but it was a mighty testimony, but he might have presented it in a way that would absolve him of blame before his wife, that because he was intimidated by her. He can't say your prophets failed and the prophet who succeeded executed all your false prophets. He didn't present it that way. He quoted it in a way that got his wife to be furious. Amen. Glory be to God. Is somebody still here today? So may you represent the Lord's testimony accurately in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And after that, she sent him a note that she was going to kill him in 24 hours. The Lord do so and more unto me if by 24 hours your head is still on your neck. Now, obviously, she couldn't do what she was threatening, because if she had really had the capacity to do so, she wouldn't have threatened. She would just go ahead and do it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But she was trying to intimidate him, and for that she succeeded. May nothing intimidate you in the name of the Lord Jesus. She sent him a note. Nobody forewarned somebody that you're going to kill the person in 24 hours. The person who brought the note could rather have been substituted for an executioner with a sword to go get his head. But she sent somebody with a note. But it had a tremendous effect, because the prophet, having won such a victory, was expecting that probably the king saw him call fire from heaven, that the next thing he would receive from the palace would be an invitation to a banquet in his honor or something. Glory be to God. Am I right? Just imagine if such a great miracle happens in the presence of the queen, then you would think that the next thing that comes with Buckingham Palace letterhead would be an invitation to a major dinner for everybody to come and meet the fire calling prophet. And so he opens up the note and finds it's a threat on his life, and it throws him off. So he isolates himself, even separating himself from his servant, and goes about a day's journey away from his servant. Whenever anything throws you off course, isolation is a temptation, but break it in the name of Jesus. Are you here today? Don't isolate yourself from church. Don't isolate yourself from the brethren. No matter what happened to you, no matter how difficult the experience, keep in the fellowship of the saints. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. So he goes to sit down, and when somebody's impacted negatively, isolation is number one. Number two is a self-pitying, complaining mood that easily comes upon somebody hard hit by a blow of the enemy. And he complains to God under the juniper tree, saying, God, I am not better than my fathers. Kill me and let me die out of this thing, because he thinks I'm too good for the people around me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And God ignores it, because several things are ignored by God. All his prayers, God ignored it. I mean, if you really want to die, why come and involve God to make God a killer? Jezebel already promised to kill you in 24 hours. So you just got to sit tight. She will get the job done in 24 hours. But he wants to get God to become a killer. It says, God, please kill me. God said, no. But God rather send an angel with a supernatural food. So in the midst of challenges, what you need is supernatural food of the word of the living God. Something must strengthen you on the inner man. Whatever was that food the angel brought, the scripture just tells us that Elijah went in the strength of that food for 40 days. Because sometimes you need to have enough word to carry you a certain distance. Glory be to God. Is somebody still here today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes you need to get some truth built up in you that can help you in your life journey to go further without falling short of strength. Glory be to God. Don't wait for trouble to find word. Find word to carry you 40 days journey so that you are already full of the strength of that word for the distance you have to go. I see a blessing on somebody this morning. Are we still in the morning or afternoon? Whichever. I see a favor on you in the mighty name of Jesus. So he eats the supernatural food and goes in the strength of that food for 40 days and comes over to Horeb. When he arrives in Horeb, he's looking for God, and God appears to him, invites him, and when he comes there, he first and foremost hears a lot of things, but God was not in any of those things. There were supernatural manifestations, a wind that was blowing like those evil hurricanes that have been blowing. May the Lord arrest them in the name of Jesus. And a strong wind that was breaking rocks and doing kinds of things, and fire and all kinds of manifestations and things that will impress you and will make you think that God is on the scene. But God was not in it. He heard the sound of the wind that breaks rocks into pieces. It's a mighty wind, but God was not in it. You need to move beyond certain things that are impressive to make sure you know what God is speaking to you. You go beyond the impression and you go for God's expression. So he knew that God was not in what was going on, and he kept waiting for the next thing, an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. But now he heard a still small voice, and he recognized that God is in the still small voice. Whatever you face in your life, God communicates through peace. And he said, the peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the voice of peace is the voice of the Lord. You have to learn how to discern the voice of peace. Know God through the still small voice, the voice of peace. There are times when we go through stuff that things try to push us, wind to break some rocks, fires and earthquakes, and to stampede, to do something wild and to feel better by doing something crazy. You know, sometimes people feel like, let me break 6 plates and leave 2. Glory be to God, and I'll feel better. Break the glasses. Do something. That's not, God is not in the earthquake. He's not in that tsunami. He is in a still small voice that carries peace. Glory be to God. May somebody hear the voice of peace. I hear some grace coming to somebody right now. Some favor is coming to somebody now. Hallelujah. So when he heard the still small voice, he discerned that God has something to say to him. And in 1 Kings 19, 13b, in the cave, and behold, this is the second part of the verse. There came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, if I travel 40 days to go somewhere, and the person I'm going to meet asks me, what am I doing here? It's very troubling. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God just said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Because sometimes the evasive actions that you take may be completely unnecessary. The whole journey to run away was completely unnecessary. The 40-day trip was not required. God could keep him right there, though they wanted to kill him, because they've been trying to kill him for a long time. When he decreed that it would not rain, for 3.5 years, they were searching for him everywhere. Interpol, BNI, MI6, MI5, MI8, everybody was looking for him. And they couldn't find him. So God said, you don't need to run. What are you doing here? Don't do the unnecessary, because God is on top of the situation. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So when he was so hard hit, he isolated himself. He stopped believing in anybody else. He said, God, nobody loves you except me. I alone am left. Whenever you get the I alone spirit, you need to fight it. You need to rebuke it. In the name of Jesus. He said, I'm the only one left. Everybody hates you except me. And I said, no, Elijah, just remember when you called the fire down and the people saw it, even the biggest sinners, they all fell flat on their face and said, the Lord, he is God. So here you are, just about 40-something days later, denying the revival you yourself sparked. Declaring that all you did is useless. And all the fire that came down, the repentance that followed, is all nullified by your discouragement. Don't tear down what you built up. Is somebody here today? Oh, I see some grace coming to somebody. Hallelujah to the glory to Jesus. And he said, everybody's gone bad. I alone am left. And God said, no. Even apart from the revival you sparked that you are denying, there are 7,000 people that have never bowed their knees to Baal. So you are not the only one moving for God. There are others in Harvest Church that are on fire for Jesus. I didn't hear you at all. May the fire of the Holy Ghost and the presence of Almighty God rest upon you mightily. In the name of Jesus. He said, I have 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. And then the Lord said to him, go return. Can you imagine? He traveled 40 days and God said, what are you doing here? He explained himself. He said, go return. Hallelujah. He didn't say, come and hide in the cave. He said, go return. Hallelujah. From today, the unnecessary shall not occupy you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him or the idol. Hallelujah. Is somebody still here today? Glory be to God. You are God's remnant. God has reserved you. All kinds of things were pulling on you, but God said, I've kept you to myself. He said, I've reserved 7,000 people to myself who have not bowed their knee to Baal, and they have not kissed the idol. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. All the attractions, all the things, all the trying to fit in, those who were kissing Baal, they were just following the fashion of the day. They were going with what was coming from the palace. They were going with what the people were doing, where what Jezebel was advocating, what was trendy. But there were 7,000 people who were not moved by the trend. Amen. Glory be to God. They were not swept in the wind of idolatry. Glory be to God. And they kept faithful to Jehovah, unseen, unknown, unheralded, but faithful to God. Elijah didn't know them, but they existed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the interesting thing is that I wanted you to see is that God told him to anoint three people. Hazael to be king of Assyria, and Jehu to be king over Israel, and Elisha to be prophet in his room. Hallelujah. And yet, when he goes out from the presence of God in the cave, we have no record of him anointing these people. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There's no record of Elijah anointing Hazael or anointing Jehu. He didn't even, in the record, anoint Elisha the way we understand anointing. Is somebody here? He just put a mantle on his shoulders and called him to follow him. Hallelujah. So we don't have record of him anointing these people. So I draw your mind to generational ministry, baton changing, people getting ready to run, and people getting ready to accomplish certain things that God has spoken that ought to be done. I see people here today, God want to give you a charge and release you to do things and stuff. Some of it was proclaimed generations past, but what they could not accomplish or what they did not accomplish, this generation can run for it and can go for it. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. So the first contact that we find between Elijah and Hazael is actually not Elijah and Hazael, but Elisha and Hazael. That means Elisha followed Elijah and got the double portion anointing upon his life, and some of the mandates that God gave to Elijah, Elisha carried it out in the sense of it. Hallelujah. Is somebody still here today? May you have a hunger and an appetite for the anointing and the oil, because Elisha had a passion to be anointed with the spirit which is upon Elijah, and he got the double portion, and he carried out much of the mandate. Is somebody still here today? It is interesting, and for time's sake, I will not go into it much, but you see that Hazael was not a Jewish person. God said to Elijah, anoint him to be king over Syria. But Syria was one of the prominent enemies of Israel. Hallelujah. If you take the Philistines, then you take the Syrians, these are the most prominent biblical enemies of Israel. So you begin to wonder, what has God got to do with anointing Hazael as king over Syria? We'll answer it another day. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But he said, he that escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will slay. And then anybody who escapes further, Elisha will slay. You have to focus your mind on the family of Ahab that God had promised to wipe out entirely. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. And these people, these three people, would be responsible for bringing the complete end of the family and the rule of Ahab and Jezebel. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you read, you will find that Hazael wounded the son of Ahab, Joram, in a battle. He went back to Jezreel to be healed. And then Jehu followed up and killed the son of Ahab, Joram, and began to fulfill the prophecy of completely wiping out the family of Ahab. Is somebody still here today? Glory be to God. So when Elisha received the anointing, he was now on course to fulfill the mandate. Say mandate. All right. So 2 Kings chapter number 8, you begin to find Elisha fulfilling some things. Chapter 8, verse number 8. 2 Kings 8. And then verse number 8. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So Elisha has an encounter with Hazael. And some of these things are 20 years plus beyond the time when God spoke to Elijah in the cave. Oh, glory be to God. Are you still here today? Because Elisha himself followed Elijah for not less than 10 years. Some of these things are 20 plus decades after. May you receive the baton. We need to be able to capture the mandate. Oh, glory be to God. And I see some major favors that are flowing here today. Glory be to God. Many people that what nobody did in your family, glory and grace is coming upon your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 8, verse 7 and 8. And Elisha came to Damascus. See, it's Elisha who has come to Damascus. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. Hazael was not the king of Syria. Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria. And it was told him, saying, the man of God is come hither. And this Ben-Hadad respected Elisha. And the king said to Hazael, take a present in thine hand and go and meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So he wanted a prophet to tell him, will I recover? Will I be healed? Will I come off this sick bed? Or will I die on this bed? So Hazael went to meet him, verse 9, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That was the error of the servant of Elisha. He didn't desire the anointing, but he chased Naaman to get a few things. But if he had received the anointing like Elisha did, 40 camels load came to Elisha free of anything. No VAT, nothing. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If you get what God called you to give to you, what must be added to you will never be a struggle. I see some people receiving the oil, receiving the anointing, receiving the word of God, going all out for God, going all out to serve God. And what must come to you shall also come to you easily. Glory be to God. So Elisha is just gone to Damascus. He's actually in enemy territory, but nobody fights him. They rather bring him 40 camel loads of presents. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And when he came, he said, "Thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease?" And Elisha said unto him, "Go say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord has showed me that he shall surely die." That means that the sickness wasn't going to kill him, but something else was going to kill him. Glory be to God. And he settled his countenance, verse 11, steadfastly until he was ashamed. And the man of God wept. Elisha was weeping. And Hazael said, "Why weepest thou, my Lord?" So you can see that the anointing God told Elijah, anoint Hazael, was not any exciting thing. It was something that made Elisha to weep. Are you here today? He said, and he answered in verse 12, "Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel." Said, "I know you, Hazael, will do more evil to the children of Israel than any Syrian king before you." Enough to put the prophet into tears when he could foresee it. So you can see that when God said to Elijah, anoint Hazael, it was not an exciting thing like anoint a pastor or something like that. It was God specifying to his people the kind of enemy that they would face in the future. This was decades away. But God wanted them to know that very soon, 20 years' time, there are some battles. I declare today, you win them so your children will not meet them. 20 years ahead, 30 years ahead, may you win them now. May you conquer it now. In the name of Jesus, may you overcome it now. May you break through the warfare and the barriers now. In the name of Jesus, your daughter will not meet that warfare. Your son will not come and meet that warfare. You will overcome it now. God wanted to show them. He wanted to show them. He said, "You are going to be facing Hazael, and you will need a certain anointing to handle Hazael." And may we be ready for what we need to have for the enemies that lie in the future. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Some of our children are facing enemies that we didn't face. They are the Hazaels of our time. In the years gone by, people bought pornographic magazines and hid it in newspapers. Now, that was some years ago. Now it just comes to you free of charge over the internet, over the Wi-Fi. That's a Hazael children are facing now that their parents didn't face. And God wants people to know ahead of time that there are certain Hazaels in the horizon. Is somebody still here with me today? Years ago, children used to play, and if they want to fight, they fight with their fists, pushing each other. Now, the Hazael your children are facing is that they face knife warfare on the school playground. This is not something you could have imagined some few decades ago, but that is the enemy now, and you need to be ready for those things ahead of time. So God was giving Israel a forward shout that this is the kind of enemy you are going to be facing. You are going to enter the Hazael enemy time, and you need to have something you are carrying for that time. Is somebody still here today? I see a blessing coming your way in the mighty name of Jesus. In a few minutes, we'll be praying now. Hallelujah. Is somebody still here today? And he said, I know the evil that thou wilt do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children and rip up their women with child. That's the kind of thing is coming against the young men. It's coming against strongholds, which could be representing our churches where the strength of God is. And the future generation of the young ones. May you be anointed. Amen. I said, may you carry grace. Amen. May you carry the word of Almighty God. Amen. May you carry a presence and an anointing. Hallelujah. I see a grace that is flowing here. Praise God. There are some people getting blessed by the power of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. I see God touching some families. You will see Hazael ahead of time. You will know how to handle Hazael in the name of Jesus. And Hazael protested and said, but what? Is thy servant a dog that he should do this great thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. You see, Hazael was not in the kingly line. He was not the son of Ben-Hadad. He wasn't a prince. He wasn't supposed to rule Syria. He was like one of his lieutenants or people, his cabinet ministers or something, and he sent him as a servant. But Elisha said, the Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria, and this is what you bring when you take over Syria. So he departed from Elisha and came to his master. And he said, What did Elisha say to you? And he said, he told me that thou shouldest surely recover. And it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it on his face so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his stead. So Hazael actually assassinated the king. Are you here today? And took over the throne with his evil, murderous spirit. Is somebody still here today? Glory be to God. Whatever is ahead of our generations that are coming, whatever attacks seem to come against the church, may the power of the Most High God fill the generation now. May you carry the oil now. May you carry the strength now. I see some people here. God will empower you in every way. In prayer, you will be empowered. In revelation knowledge, you will be empowered. Because this battle is a generational battle. There's something you will deposit in the little ones. In the name of Jesus. Elijah might have received the mandate, but he has to commission Elisha and give the anointing, the double anointing to Elisha. And it was Elisha also who contacted Jehu, because Elisha called one of his own ushers and servants and gave him a box of oil and said, go and empty it on the head of Jehu. and just tell him you are the next king of Israel and run away from there. Don't stay. Don't drink tea with him. Don't drink coffee. Run, because he's a wild man. He's not been anointed because he's a holy man. He's a very wild guy. And as soon as he's anointed king, he's going on a rampage. He's going to wipe out all the family of Ahab. And everybody Jehu met, he said, follow me. So he said, you run away before he add you to his murderous entourage. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But when Jehu got to the headquarters, the Joram, the son of Ahab, came out to meet him. And he asked him, is it peace? Then he said, what peace can be there when the witchcrafts of your mother Jezebel are so many? Glory be to God. And he slew Joram, and he went on to Jezebel's stronghold. Elijah ran from Jezebel, but when the anointing, the double portion began to work, the people affected by the anointing, they didn't fear Jezebel. What your forefathers feared, may the oil you carry now, he went straight for Jezebel. After killing Jezebel's son, he still was not afraid of Jezebel. He still drove straight looking for Jezebel, and he just killed her son. But he was not intimidated. Elijah killed her prophets and was afraid of her. This Jehu killed her son, but was not afraid. Went straight for Jezebel. Jezebel came out of the window and addressed him, but he still wouldn't run. And there were some eunuchs, and I'll stop here. If God bring me to London again, I'll finish the message. Hallelujah. There were some eunuchs in Jezebel's bedroom. These are men that were deliberately castrated so that they could serve the queen, because they are not a threat, because they have been castrated, and the burden and virility and everything male has been taken from them. So they are allowed in her bedroom. They are her guards. They are her beauticians. They are her hairdressers. They are sent into her bedroom because they have been neutralized. And God sent me today to announce to anybody here that the enemy thinks he has neutralized, that a new anointing is coming upon your life. Abba Yoshaba, I feel something here. I feel something here in the name of Jesus. You know, the eunuchs were supposed to have been so neutralized that they are harmless. They guarantee that these men can never hurt Jezebel. They are the only people allowed in her bedroom. And this most fearful of people, women or rulers, Jehu, by the oil on him, spoke to the eunuchs and said, who is on the Lord's side in that bedroom? And the eunuch said, we are on your side, Jehu. He said, if you are for me, then throw her down. So the Jezebel ended because of the power that came into the people that were guaranteed as neutralized. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it is the eunuchs that threw her down. I see you right now. Some people right now. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes. 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 Yes, 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 yes. Mado Shadabaha, rise on your feet now.
Rise on your feet now. Mabakadabayo Shadabaha Andarabahaya Wa Andakoshiba Arande.